By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Today is another morning, Alhamdulillah. So hopefully today, inshallah too, we shall learn about one particular department of Dawat Islami, and that we shall hear as to which one that is. We shall hear it very, very soon. Every single morning, we should begin our day. Please, begin your day. And may Allah Ta'ala grant me the ability to begin my each and every single day, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, either by reciting the glorious Quran, or if not being able to open the Quran and recite it, maybe reciting it by heart. Or even at least to listen, be able to listen to the glorious Quran. Let's inshallah this morning begin this morning by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Let's inshallah make good intentions, because remember, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that indeed our actions, those actions that we perform, they are based upon what? They are based upon the intentions we make. And it's stated that best of our ibadah, that is the best form of worship amongst them, is what? An-niyat as-sadiqah, a true intention, a firm intention, my dear viewers. And it's stated that the niyyah of a believer is even greater than the action itself. Let's make good intentions, inshallah, that this tilawat of the glorious Quran, inshallah, let's listen to the tilawat to earn reward, to seek and gain blessings, inshallah. Within this there is the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We have previously completed Surah Al-Kahf, and now we are to move on to the next chapter. What is the next chapter? The 19th chapter of the glorious Quran. Let's take a look which chapter this is.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
کافہ یا صاد ذکر رحمت ربک عبدہ زکریہ.
یہ مذکور ہے تیرے رب کی اس رحمت کا جو اس نے اپنے بندے زکریہ پر کی.
اذ نادا ربہ نداء خفیہ,
جب اس نے اپنے رب کو آہستہ پکارا.
قال رب انی وہن العظم منی واشتعل الرأس شیبا ولم اکن بدعائک رب شقیا.
عرض کی, اے میرے رب, میری ہڈی کمزور ہو گئی اور سر سے بڑھاپے کا بھبو کا پھوٹا یعنی سفیدی ظاہر ہوئی, اور اے میرے رب, میں تجھے پکار کر کبھی نامراد نہ رہا.
وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِن وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِن لَّدُنكَ وَلِيًّا.
اور مجھے اپنے بعد اپنے قرابت والوں کا ڈر ہے, اور میری عورت مانج ہے, تو مجھے اپنے پاس سے کوئی ایسا دے ڈال جو میرا کام اٹھا لے.
یرثنی ویرث من آل یعقوب وجعله ربی رضیا.
وہ میرا جانشین ہو اور اولاد یعقوب کا وارث ہو, اور اے میرے رب, اسے پسندیدہ کر.
یا زکریا اننا نبشرک بغلام اسمه یحیی لم نجعل له من قبل سمیا.
اے زکریا ہم تجھے خوشی سناتے ہیں ایک لڑکے کی جن کا نام یحییٰ ہے، اس کے پہلے ہم نے اس نام کا کوئی نہ کیا.
قال رب انا یکون لی غلام وکانت امرأتی عاقرا وقد بلغت من الکبر عتیا.
عرض کی اے میرے رب میرے لڑکا کہاں سے ہوگا، میری عورت تو بانج ہے اور میں بڑھاپے سے سوکھ جانے کی حالت کو پہنچ گیا.
قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين وقد خلقتك من قبل ولم تك شيئا.
فرمایا ایسا ہی ہے، تیرے رب نے فرمایا وہ مجھے آسان ہے اور میں نے تو اس سے پہلے تجھے اس وقت بنایا جب تو کچھ بھی نہ تھا.
قال رب اجعلنی آیہ.
عرض کی اے میرے رب مجھے کوئی نشانی دے دے.
قال آیتک الا تکلم الناس ثلاث لیال سویا.
فرمایا تیری نشانی یہ ہے کہ تو تین رات دن لوگوں سے کلام نہ کرے بھلا چنگا ہو کر.
فخرج على قومه من المحراب فأوحى إليهم أن سبحوا بكرة وعشيا.
تو اپنی قوم پر مسجد سے باہر آیا تو انہیں اشارے سے کہا کہ صبح و شام تسبیح کرتے رہو.
یا یحییٰ خذ الکتاب بقوة.
اے یحییٰ کتاب مضبوط تھام.
وآتیناہ الحکم صبیہ.
اور ہم نے اسے بچپن ہی میں نبوت دی.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی علیہ وسلم. My dear viewers, among inshallah, the 19th chapter of the glorious Quran, Surah Maryam. Again, amongst the, and this is what we say nearly with every chapter, you know, one of the most beautiful chapters. Within there is a story, and in fact, this is something which is very, very important, very significant. The glorious Quran, the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, has named an entire chapter after Hazrat Maryam, radiallahu ta'ala anha. An entire chapter has been named after this individual, a lady, a woman, the mother of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And yes, inshallah, in the future, you shall hear a little about Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, her story and that of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Another prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was during the same time as Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, was an individual by the name of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, about whom we've only just heard. And that was the first time somebody was given this name. So this name was unique. Initially, that is. And now, no doubt, there are many people by the name of Yahya. But alhamdulillah, this is a name unique to Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. It was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a name. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his age very close to that of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Only, you know, a slight difference, you could say, of some months is the only difference. And it stated that during the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she had Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in her womb, the mother of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, also the relative of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, there was also Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, who would take care of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But that, my dear viewers, was the story, the good news of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, how, you know, the mother was reached a old age, you can say. And they were amazed, how could it be possible for us to have a child at this state? And this is something, in fact, this is a lesson for everybody too, that always have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many people who also don't have children, and some don't have children for years. For some, it takes a year, and they think, oh, you still don't have a child? You know, and other people, remember, another person has no right to say to somebody else. It doesn't matter. Whoever Allah Ta'ala wishes to give children to, only they will have them. How many Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wishes to give them, that's all they will be able to have. Remember. And but you must also remember something, that it is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who gives. So you shouldn't give up hope too. If it's been 1 year, some people get worried. Don't worry. You know, 1 year, what's 1 year? 2 years, 3 years, and then sometimes people have, you know, their first child even. SubhanAllah, they should be thankful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But never be hopeless. I know this one individual, I think it took him 16 years. 16 years. And then they had their child, and that's the only child as of yet. But remember, always be hopeful, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And also, remember that it is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who gives children. It is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who you can turn to, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will help you and aid you. And it is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who accepts du'as. It is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala who gives whatever we may have. So always be hopeful. Do not be hopeless, no. Do not feel despondent and, you know, just lose hope, no. But always have hope in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Perform your, this is the least, and this is something we must do anyway. Obligatory actions. Perform your salah, perform your daily salah, and turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and pray. And for those that are wishing for children, inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant them children, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And another point, that when we do dua for children, then we should ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for pious and practicing children. So children who shall, and this is the term used generally in Dawud, will become the coolness to our eyes. Meaning, when we look at them, they should bring us happiness. When we look at them, we should not get angry or worried or, you know, what's going to happen now whenever we see them. No. Whenever we see them, we gain happiness. SubhanAllah, I've seen this person made my day. Allahu Akbar. This is how our children should be. And this is the dua we should make. That inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant us children so that we can give these children in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. For them to learn about the deen, to learn about the religion, to spread the religion, etc., etc. You know, these are the sort of du'as we should ask for pious children. And subhanAllah, just a side note, this is something which my own beloved father, may Allah Ta'ala bless him, something which they said that, you know, there were some people who said to them, they were saying this, that Allahu Akbar, we've come to this country. I'm not sure if these people were Muslims, but generally we find it amongst Muslims also, sadly. They say that, you know, we came to this country, let's just say, or, you know, came to different places, and we worked very, very hard. You know, we had 2-3 jobs. And our purpose, our sole purpose was what? To give education to our children, to give them a good education. We sent them to colleges, we sent them to universities, etc. They say, but we made a big mistake. We made a big mistake. We worked throughout our entire life, so hard. We gave them everything. And we thought we'll give them a good education, and what our children have done is they've gone to this country, they've gone to that country to get the best of jobs, etc., etc. But they're not here with us. We feel lonely, and they're not here with us. They're not serving us. That's, subhanAllah, that's something to think about. That was something which when I heard, I was like, you know, that is very true. It is very true. We wish to give our children the best, but then, you know, one day we become lonely. What have we done? What have we attained? Is it going to aid us in the akhirah? Remember, if our child was to go to another country, to another place, yes, for the deen, for the religion, then okay, that's benefiting the parents too. At least it's benefiting them in the akhirah, subhanAllah. But if they're to go for the world, and then, you know, how is it? How are you benefiting? How are you aiding or helping your parents? This is also a question we need to be asking, that, you know, when we do have children, that is, how is it that we wish to bring them up? Yes, we wish to give them good education, we should. But how about teaching them other things too? Teaching them about the deen, teaching them about the religion, the importance, you know, taking care of the parents, that is, looking after the parents in whatever way or manner they can, etc., etc. That's a separate point anyway, believers. Alhamdulillah, Azzurul, we have listened to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Let's move on to the beautiful kalam, mashallah. Sallu ala al-habib. صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم.
نہ کوئی آپ جیسا تھا نہ کوئی آپ جیسا ہے, کوئی یوسف سے پوچھے مصطفیٰ کا حسن کیسا ہے. اے جلوائے جانانا, اے جلوائے جانانا, آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے. جلوائے جانانا آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے. اے جلوائے جانانا, جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے, جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے, ہر دل بن میں خانہ, ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانہ, ہر دل بن میں خانہ, میں خانہ ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانہ. آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے. اے جلوائے جانانا, گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا, مر مر کے اسے پایا, گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا, مر مر کے اسے پایا, چھوٹے نا الہی اب سنگے در جانانا, چھوٹے نا الہی اب یا رب سنگے در جانانا. آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے. اے جلوائے جانانا, اے جلوائے جانانا, اے جلوائے جانانا, پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا, کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا, پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا, کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا, پانی ہے تیرا پانی, دانا ہے تیرا دانا, پانی ہے تیرا پانی, ہاں پانی, دانا ہے تیرا دانا. آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے. اے جلوائے جانانا, ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذو تیری، ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذو تیری، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، پروانہ ہے پروانہ، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، ہاں بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ،
تو ماہ نبوت ہے، جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا، وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ، اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ،
تو ماہ نبوت ہے، اے جلوائے جانانا، سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری، سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری، تاحشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ، تاحشر رہے روشن، ہاں روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ،
تو ماہ نبوت ہے، اے جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا،
beautiful, beautifully recited, alhamdulillah. The topic for today is what? Makkah and Medina, Makkah al-Mukarramah, al-Medina al-Munawwara. The two greatest of all cities. So there are three places, very, very sacred. Not that there are many places which are sacred, but specifically in terms of cities, three which are very, very sacred and hold a huge importance. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even encourages us to visit there, visit those masajid, etc. One, yes, is Makkah al-Mukarramah, Masjid al-Haram. Another is al-Madinah al-Munawwara, Madinah al-Nabi, Masjid al-Nabi, the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also is al-Quds al-Sharif, al-Aqsa, or Masjid al-Aqsa. Remember, al-Aqsa is the compound. Within the compound, we have a few things. We have the Dome of the Rock. There is the Masjid itself too. There is also a museum. There's a few things. The Masjid Al-Aqsa, but by Al-Aqsa, It's the entire compound which is referred to. So the entire compound is blessed, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. So many of you was three, you could say unique, no doubt about it, which hold a special place, but many others too, Alhamdulillah. And the greatest of all, Makkah al-Mukarrama, al-Madinah al-Munawwara, both in their own right, beautiful, both in their own right, very, very sacred, no doubt about it. These two great cities, Alhamdulillah, both the cities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose one. Yes, one he was, you could say, exiled from initially. One he was subjected to difficulty, hardship, torture, much pain, physical pain that be. One which he had to leave. Yes, one which he had to leave. So he wasn't, in a way, really exiled, but he chose to leave because the conditions were such that it was better and safer for the Muslims to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once, the time came where he, after, this is known as the year of Surah 2, it stated about 10 years this was after the first revelation Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given. Two very, very important people passed away in his life. One, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the second, Abu Talib, who also passed away. And this had saddened Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why even the entire year is known as the year of sorrow. And we must remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under the protection of Abu Talib. So whilst Abu Talib was present, whilst they were alive, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under their protection. So people, yes, they subjected them to difficulty, to torture, etc. But nobody could ever kill them because the Arabs, they were proud. They were very, very proud. So much so that although they may not have been Muslims and they may have had this enmity towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mazallah, but yet if a different tribe member was to ever attempt to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they would go to war with them. Just due to, because of these, you know, this, it was a tribal age is what it was. And they had this pride that no, nobody could kill our person. And this is why when they did attempt during the Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Ali to remain behind, when they did attempt to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they made a plan. But they were arguing with each other. Why? Because nobody would allow another tribe to go and assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even then, it was a matter of pride, wasn't it? And this is when the shaitan, he also interjected. And he said, why doesn't everybody do it? So then, you know, nobody can, or everyone could pay some blood money and nobody could take the blame. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time, he was not under anybody's protection. But then things became very, very difficult and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not under anybody's protection in particular. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, and the chosen city was what? The chosen city was Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. So the point being, my dear viewers, that these are two blessed cities, two very, very important cities, and two cities we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us towards, inshallah. Even if we've been before, may Allah Ta'ala take us again. And especially for those who have never been, may Allah Ta'ala grant them the means, the ability, whether it be the time, yes, the time, whether it be the opportunity, you know, family, because there's many things, isn't there? When a person's partaking a huge trip for some weeks, because not everybody's in the same condition. People are in different positions. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all, inshallah, to these beautiful cities, Makkah al-Mukarrama, al-Madinah al-Munawwara too, inshallah. Now, my dear viewers, both of these cities are blessed. We always begin with a story. Let's begin with a story. A personal incident too, alhamdulillah. Once I remember when I was there, and as we were walking, and because especially nowadays, it gets quite busy, doesn't it? It gets quite busy. Many people walk, especially depending on what time of year you go. I can't remember which particular time this was, but once I remember whilst I was there and I was performing the tawaf, and, you know, to be honest, I got a little scared. I was performing the tawaf. I was reading the dua as you're reading, as you're circumambulating around the Ka'batul Musharrafa, the circumambulation, the tawaf as it's known as. And whilst you're doing the tawaf, you read some particular du'as too. So subhanAllah, I was reading my du'as, and I got shook because there was something next to me, and it was really low down. And I turned and I was thinking, oh, and there was somebody going past. Now this individual who's going past, my dear viewers, he did have arms, but he had no legs whatsoever. And he had some sort of, I don't know the name of this particular mechanism, but you know, it's one of those things which has four wheels below it. And he was on top, his upper body is all he had. He had no lower body. His upper body was resting on top of that. And by means of his hands, if he wished, he was, you know, moving by using his hands. And honestly, and subhanAllah, especially while I was reading the story, it makes me think of that. I think, wow, even at that time, I was like, wow, subhanAllah, look at this. There are so many people, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, around the world who have this love and desire to go visit Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And sometimes we think, how will this person ever get to go there? But whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes. Really, he literally, and this is real, something which I've seen with my own eyes. That this person was walking with his hands. He had some sort of mechanism which had four wheels, and he was pushing himself, and he was performing the tawaf. He didn't have a wheelchair, and yes, you get people with wheelchairs too, going and performing the tawaf. But my dear viewers, honestly, it was a beautiful sight. And there are many lessons to be taken from this. And another is that no matter what our situation, we must push ourselves. No matter what our situation, like a person will think, oh, look at the state of this person. How would this person ever go and perform the tawaf? Do you know how much walking there is? Like we say to the elderly, do you know how much walking there is? There's a lot of walking. It's not easy. But subhanAllah, look at some people. Really, they have this love, this desire to go even, you know, see the Ka'batul Musharrafa. They have this wish and desire to perform the Umrah, to go and perform the Hajj. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us, inshallah, azzajal. My dear viewers, these two cities, both cities, we don't say one is particularly greater than another. You know, some scholars say Makkah al-Mukarramah is greater. Some al-Madinah al-Munawwara is greater. But one thing which is understood, one thing which is accepted and agreed upon, is that which touches the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is greater than anything. That is the greatest of all pieces of land. That is even greater than the throne, that is. That is even greater than the arsh. That which touches the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, Makkah al-Mukarrama is that city. The city of all of the prophets. Yes, many of the prophets would all come. All of the prophets would all come to the city. They would all come and perform the Hajj. They would all come and perform the pilgrimage. It is the city of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was sent down towards Hind. And yes, he himself and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, they met at Arafah. And this is why Arafah is given the name of Arafah. Which means to recognize, because this is where they saw, they met each other, they recognized each other. At Arafah, this is where they met. But they performed the pilgrimage, my dear viewers. Makkah al-Mukarramah. It's stated, yes, during the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, that the Ka'batul Musharrafa was built. Others state that, no, during the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it was built. Possibly even rebuilt. Allahu alam as to what took place. But yes, many scholars state during the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the Ka'batul Musharrafa was first built, and some state by the angels initially, right at the beginning too. So it is the city of the Ka'batul Musharrafa. One thing we need to understand, the Ka'batul Musharrafa is Baytullah. It is a masjid, it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so are the rest of the masajid. And the Ka'batul Musharrafa is where the Qibla is. The Ka'bat al-Musharrafa is not, and some people have this misconception. Some people have this misconception that the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa, Muslims worship. This is what some people ask. Why do the Muslims worship the Ka'bah? We do not worship the Ka'bah. We must understand this. If anybody does, then this is a big, big problem. This is shirk. This is impermissible, completely haram. My dear viewers, remember, it's only the direction for unification. This is all it is. The Ka'bah al-Musharrafa is for direction. So we face towards the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa. And that's where the Qibla is. The Qibla is where the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa is. And it's even stated above the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa in the first heaven, all the up until the seventh, where there's the Bayt al-Ma'mur. And the Bayt al-Ma'mur, all of this is the Qibla. The Bayt al-Ma'mur is where the angels do tawaf around. And it's stated that it's directly above the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa. It's stated, وَلَوْ خَرَّ لَخَرَّ عَلَيْهِ, that if the Bayt al-Ma'mur is to drop downwards, it would drop completely upon the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa, meaning to show that it's exactly above the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa. So this beautiful city of Makkah al-Mukarrama, a city of many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also the city, the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We speak about the Milad, don't we? Now this is the city in which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was born. Yes, he was born in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And even up until this day, when we go and perform the Hajj or the Umrah, we go towards the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa, we do tawaf, etc. We go towards Safa Marwa, don't we? We walk between these places. And when you leave, so because we begin at Safa and we go towards Marwa, we also end at Marwa, don't we? After we've done seven. So there's six coming back to Safa and then the seventh going to Marwa. And then when you leave through those doors, not a minute's walk, probably not even a minute's walk, there's what's today is a maktaba, it's a library. It's been transformed into a library. That was the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was where Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave birth to the greatest of all mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That makes the city even greater. Remember, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Al-Quds al-Sharif, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a few places before that. Amongst those places, he went to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. He went to Mount Sinai. He went to Mount Sinai also. And the third place he went to was what? He also went to a place known as Baytul Laham, which is known as Bethlehem, the birthplace of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, Qum fasalli, go pray some rakat of salah there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he prays some cycles of prayer. And then he asks, what is this place? And he's told, this is the place where Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. So that place where Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born becomes a sacred and a special place, so much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was asked to even perform some cycles of prayer there. So imagine the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And this is the city, the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is also the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spent the majority of his life, of his apparent life in this world, that is. That's 53 years. And he spent 10 years in Al-Madinah al-Munawwar, his apparent life, before his apparent demise, that is. 53 years he spent in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He spent walking the valleys of Makkah al-Mukarramah, walking the streets, the mountains, worshipping in the caves, especially the cave which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit was Ghar Hira. This particular cave where even the first revelation was. So the first revelation was also revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allahu Akbar, how many blessings are there of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And the people would love Makkah al-Mukarramah so much. If you perform an action, the action is multiplied by 100,000, the deed. But that's good or bad. So we must be very, very careful for those that do visit. We must be very, very careful in refraining from sin, especially in that place. My dear viewers, This is the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah where the message was first spread amongst the people. Where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would spend time teaching the companions, calling out to the people. He stood on Mount Safa. He called the people and he said to them, he first invited them towards the religion of Islam. This is that same city that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had loved so much. Even when the time came when he needed to leave, he said as he was leaving, he turns back and he turns towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. He states, if I wasn't, you know, forced out, I would never have left Makkah al-Mukarramah. Makkah al-Mukarramah was a special city, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved Makkah al-Mukarramah. He loved this. This was also the place where his first beloved wife and most beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she's also buried, where he spent time with her in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So subhanAllah, Makkah al-Mukarramah is beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's amongst the greatest of all lands, the greatest of all cities, Makkah al-Mukarramah, my dear viewers. Let's go to the daily reminder and we shall hear a little about Al-Madinah al-Munawwara too, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Wish for death in Medina. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, Man istata'a an yamuta bil madinati falyamut biha fa inni ashfa'u liman yamutu biha. That means, whoever can die in Medina should die in it, because I will intercede for the one who dies in Medina. Commenting on the above hadith, the renowned commentator, the great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, has stated, apparently, this good news and guidance were given for all the Muslims, not for Muhajireen only. If a Muslim wishes to meet his death in Medina, he should also try to be blessed with this privilege. He should reside in Medina, especially in old age, and should not go out of it unnecessarily, so that he meets his death there. However, this is only possible by the grace of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would pray, O Lord, grant me death and martyrdom in the city of your beloved. His prayer was amazingly answered. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was attacked during Salatul Fajr in the mihrab and at the praying place of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which led to his martyrdom there. Respected Mufti further stated, I have seen that some people have been living in Medina for 30 to 40 years. They do not even go out of the city of Medina, lest they meet death outside Medina. Sayyiduna Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala would also do the same thing. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, mashallah wa azza wa jal, you are watching Rise and Shine, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. And my dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we have just listened to the daily reminder. Today we are speaking about the beautiful cities. Remember, the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah is that city in which, within the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by, La uqsimu bihadhal balad. And the la, they say that this is this is extra, that I swear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by this city, the city which is Makkah al-Mukarramah, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. So this is that city, my dear viewers of Madani channel, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the glorious Quran takes an oath by. Subhanallah, the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So there's subhanallah, many blessings. And then my dear viewers, from Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left and went towards which city? That city which was initially known as Yathrib, and a city which is, there's many different reasons as to why it was known Yathrib, many different reasons that the scholars have given. One reason is that it's named after a particular person. Another reason is because what Yathrib refers to is illnesses and disease and plague, etc. And there would be many people that, you know, go there and they are inflicted with some sort of illness. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed that place, it became known as Madinatul Nabi, the city of the Prophet. And then later it became just famously known as what? Al-Madina or Al-Madinatul Munawwara. It's said that when the Muslims first traveled to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, they became ill too. Remember, Hijrah is not a small thing. Hijrah is huge, especially during that day. For us, it's not very difficult. For them to travel from one place to another country, it's not very difficult. You know, I have the people at home. Yes, you're going to miss the people at home, no doubt about it. Yes, they're going to miss you, etc. No doubt about it. It's not the same. But at least they know you're safe. If there is anything wrong, you could contact them. If there's anything you need, you could contact them. You know, and even before you do leave, you know what's happening there. You have everything ready there. This is, you know, nowadays. And remember, La Hijra Ba'd al-Fath. Nowadays, Hijra is not that same Hijra of the companions. So that could never be done now. But the point is, it's immigration, isn't it? Hijra. Still immigration. But that immigration, my dear viewers, it was huge in them days, moving from one city to another city. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does his famous dua of, Ya Rab, you know, the illnesses, etc., take it away from Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And then finally, these few words which are beautiful, Allahumma habib ilayna al-Madina ka hubbina Makkah aw ashadda, that Ya Allah, habib, make beloved to us, ilayna al-Madina, this beloved city, just like we love Makkah al-Mukarram, or even more, meaning make al-Madina al-Munawwara even more beloved to us. And they said that the disease, illnesses were sent to a place far away, and al-Madina al-Munawwara is that place which is free from plagues, etc. Alhamdulillah. So the beloved city, the blessed city of al-Madina al-Munawwara is a sacred city. The city of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara is no doubt a pure city. Alhamdulillah, Azul Shaykh Muhakkik Abdul Haq Muhaddis Delvi, Rahmullahu Ta'ala, they say that if a person is to go to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, the dust of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, they are to wipe it on their face and they will be granted shifa. This is the city of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And even until this very day, there's a famous story mentioned by various commentators of the glorious Quran in the exegesis of in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. He mentions وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ جَمَاعَ. This is what he states in his tafsir, that an entire group, so many people have narrated this. And he states about a person by the name of Utbi, you know, this companion, he was once by the blessed shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was a Bedouin who came. And this lesson from towards my dear viewers is that even to this very day and age, remember, the books of Islamic jurisprudence, Allahu Akbar, when mentioning the pilgrimage, they state that the greatest pillar of them all is going on visiting Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So what's so special? There are many things special about Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, subhanallah. But amongst the greatest is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact the greatest, is that the greatest of all people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is present there in this day and age, and we can go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who are very fortunate, those who are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that I can go and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too. And it stated the story of Hazrat Utbi, radhiallahu an, that a Bedouin came, rahimahullah ta'ala, a Bedouin came, and he came and he stated a few verses of the glorious Quran. I'm trying to cut it short, inshallah. And he said that, Ya Rasulullah, we've been told within the glorious Quran to come to yourself. I have committed sin, Ya Allah, I ask for forgiveness. And he mentioned some poetry. It's even written there today on the pillars that, oh, the greatest of all mankind, who's made this place so beautiful, and by the virtue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this entire place has become aromatic, has become fragrant. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. May myself,
May my life be sacrificed for this place in which you are buried. And lays here who? The one of chastity, the one of generosity, the greatest of all mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madinatul Channel, yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and subhanallah, you know, from all of the fada'il of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. This is, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Al-Madinatul Munawwara. This is what we must understand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen Al-Madinatul Munawwara. It's very, very important that we understand this. Because remember, in the 8th year Hijri, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with, you know, 10,000 or so soldiers, they went and opened the fatah, the opening of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then had the chance, if he wished, he could have remained in Makkah al-Mukarramah, but no, he chose to remain in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. So this is the choice of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He chose this city too. So this is a blessed city, a sacred city, a city which, inshallah, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times grant us the ability to go and visit these places, inshallah. Let's go to the daily hadith sharif. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the mercy of the Rasul of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was astounding. The Messenger of Allah was once resting on a journey. Ghawrath bin Harith then came and took the sword of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and removed it from its sheath, intending to martyr him. Now when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awoke from his sleep, Ghawrath said, "O Muhammad, who can save you from me now?" Now, listen to the reply of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. He replied by simply saying, "Allah." Ghawrath was overawed when he heard this, causing him to let go of the sword that he was holding. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then picked it up in his sacred hand and asked, "Who is there to save you from my hand now?" Ghawrath began to plead, saying, "Only you can save my life." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, again the mercy comes into happening. "Let him go and forgave him." After this incident, Ghawrath returned to his nation and said, "O people, I have returned after meeting with such a person who is the best of all humans on earth." Dear viewers of Madani Channel, these incidents highlight how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would treat everyone, every single person from child to adults, with love and compassion, as well as not become angry with anyone due to personal reasons. No matter how personal anything got, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always kind. But when the boundaries of Sharia were breached in front of him and the divine laws were disregarded, signs of anger would become visible upon his noble forehead. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, anything personal to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not matter to him. But when the boundaries of Sharia were disregarded, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would get really, really angry. We must take care and all do good deeds and please the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins for his sake. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, subhanallah, we had this fruit and we waited for it to become ripe, and now it seems like it's as ripe as I think we will find it, and I'm just worried it might end up going off. So it is quite ripe, maybe because of the temperature it's been held in, possibly because of the heat and the cold, the constant change of temperature may have affected it. But today we are going to, inshallah, finally cut it open and taste it, inshallah. Let's cut it open. Bismillah. So when cutting it, you can just cut it right through. Yes, and the rest looks, mashallah, wow. Honestly, this looks, mashallah, beautiful. Alhamdulillah. We did say that it has seeds within these. And if you take a look at these seeds, I don't know if these seeds are as they are edible. Should we taste them? But I might just have to take it out. But generally, as you do with others, these seeds will be taken out. Mashallah, the color of this looks beautiful. And what makes it more beautiful is the seeds. These seeds, you don't have to throw away, my dear viewers. You can make use of these. Some people, what they do is, I think with these seeds, they first place them in water. So they'll soak them for about an hour or so. Some people say to soak them overnight. And then they will place them in the oven. And they'll become dry. When they are dried, then they become quite smaller, don't they? And they have their own smell to them too. And then these seeds are used as a substitute for black pepper. So people, love to add black pepper to their food. You could also add these, or use these, crush these seeds, or you could place them in a grinder. And subhanAllah, they could be used as black pepper. And the taste is not exactly like black pepper, but it's very, very close to black pepper. And the fruit itself, mashallah, a beautiful orangey yellow. Alhamdulillah, on the outskirts, we find the flesh is orangey, yellow, mashallah. And this looks perfectly ripe. Alhamdulillah. This is perfectly ripe. Alhamdulillah, Azzurul. It looks very, very beautiful. Some seeds already look quite... I just want to see if the seeds are soft or are they hard. Yes, these seeds... Oh, I've just burst one. So each seed is in like some sort of pocket, if you wish. Some sort of bubble of fruit. Bismillah. So nevertheless, let's take this out, inshallah. And let's begin to... let's give it a taste. Allahu Akbar. I don't know the best way to take this out. I think it would have been better if I had some sort of spoon or something. My dear viewers, please do remember that the purpose of this is that, alhamdulillah, fruits are a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are very, very good for our health. They are very good for our health. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, did eat fruits, especially the date. Other fruits have also been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate those fruits, those which were available. There was once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mentioned Ta'if today, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled to Ta'if. I wish there was a quicker way to do this. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when stones were thrown at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Shaybah, two brothers, they, because they were from the same tribe, and they were saddened that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they were not Muslim, and later they fought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Badr too. But they had a slave who was from a faraway land, from the land of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And by means of that slave, they sent fruit to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And which fruit was that? They were grapes. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also ate grapes. And it's also stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also eat watermelon. And that's one of my most favorites. I think possibly my favorite fruit is the watermelon. It's very, very soft. As I was cutting through it, mashallah, easily the knife was just sliding through it. Alhamdulillah, azzurul. Very, very soft. The skin is not really eaten. The skin is not eaten. And remember, this is high in vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin B6, etc. A few vitamin B's, that is. It is high in vitamin C, it is high in vitamin K. This also possesses quite a bit of fiber too. So it said those who have toilet problems must be careful when eating this. The skin, my dear viewers, over the Nishan, a beautiful green and yellow skin, that is. This skin could be used for blemishes on the face, etc. It could be used as a face mask. But nevertheless, I have tasted the fruit before. But to be honest, I don't know what it tastes like. I can't remember what it tastes like. I know I've had it a lot, and I know it tastes very, very nice. But let's taste it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I should have begun from the right. but it has a little slight tangy taste to it. Bismillah. And this one, yes, quite tangy, but nevertheless a nice taste, alhamdulillah. It is very much like other melons. I'm just trying to take this top part off because it wasn't completely off. Bismillah. But it is nice. I can't give it a... I can't locate, you can say, the taste. All I know is it tastes sweet. It is very, very nice, very much like other melons, but not one in particular. And it has a bit of a... I'm gonna have another one, bismillah. I'd say very close to a banana even. Slightly. You won't immediately taste and think banana. But close, nevertheless, mashallah, a very, very nice taste. This is a papaya fruit. It is a tropical fruit. And it is something which is very, very good for the health. Try to taste, and we do try to have different fruits, inshallah. So give the papaya a try, inshallah. My dear viewers, I'm going to continue enjoying this, inshallah. And let's also listen to the munkabat praise of Hazrat Ali al-Murtada, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the fourth Khalifa of Islam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
من كنت مولا من كنت مولا فهذا علي مولا فهذا علي مولا 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 علي مولا
سے ہو اس وجمع البحرین کا رتبہ بیاں کس منہ کسے ہو اس وجمع البحرین کا رتبہ جو مرکز ہے شریعت کا طریقت کا ہے سر چشمہ جو مرکز ہے شریعت کا طریقت کا ہے سر چشمہ
علی مولا 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 علی مولا
دلہن زہرا عمر داماد اور حسنین سے بیٹے دلہن زہرا عمر داماد اور حسنین سے بیٹے تیری ہستی ہے اعلیٰ اور بالا تر تیرا کنبہ
علی مولا علی مولا علی مولا علی مولا علی مولا
اس نے نماز عصر قربان کی نبی کی نیند پر اس نے نماز عصر قربان کی جو حاضر کر چکا تھا اس سے پہلے جان کا غدیا
علی مولا 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 علی مولا
نہ کیوں کر لوٹتا اس کے لیے ڈوبا سورج نہ کیوں کر لوٹتا اس کے لیے ڈوبا ہوا سورج کہ جب اس چاند کے پہلوں میں ایک سورج کا تھا جلوہ علی مولا علی مولا اگر چاہو مسلمان رسول اللہ کی الفت اگر چاہو کرو اس کی غلامی جس کا ہر مومن ہوا بندہ چشتی قادری یا نقشبندی سہر وردی وہ چشتی قادری یا نقشبندی سہر وردی وہ ملا سب کو ولایت کا انہیں کے ہاتھ سے ٹکڑا علی مولا علی مولا خوشاں ہے سب کے سالک کا سہارا ہے علی مشکل خوشاں ہے سب کے سالک کا سہارا ہے ہر ایک محتاج ان کا ہو جواب بوڑا ہو یا بچا علی مولا
My dear viewers, one thing I would like to mention, inshallah, before we leave today, because nobody knows who will be here tomorrow, who will not. It has been so many episodes, alhamdulillah, it has been brilliant, alhamdulillah, it has been a beautiful and brilliant experience for myself. That's all for today, and Allahu Akbar, until Allah Ta'ala wishes, as Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wishes. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, don't forget, hopefully there will be Rise and Shine tomorrow, so you need to join and tune in to Rise and Shine tomorrow too, inshallah azza wa jal. Again, if I've made any mistakes, inshallah, I would like to make public tawbah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. Those with the program, outside of the program, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me for each and every single one of my minor and major sins, inshallah azza wa jal. And everything I've spoken about, may Allah ta'ala make me an embodiment to all of these things, grant me the ability to act upon all of these things too, inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah ta'ala grant Rise and Shine even more success, and grant inshallah azza wa jal the team the ability to continue on and on, and grant them all blessings, especially the cameramen, mashallah, those brothers who are in Pakistan. Everybody playing any sort of part towards, and especially our Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatum al-Ali, our Nigrani Shura, our Arakini Shura, all the Zimadaran of Dawat Islami, and the viewers of Madani Channel, Allahu Akbar, continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun